You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And this is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and welcome to my couch. You are live, as you are always, every Friday here on LA Talk Radio at 11 Pacific time. We're all over the world. Listen, we're going to have a great show today, as always. Something to help you out in your relationships with yourself, with your feelings. Another brilliant author, may I say, in humility. Got you on my mind. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've had great women clients who come into my office for therapy. Great women. They come in and they say, Doc, I don't know what happened. My husband just decided to up and leave me. You know, he says, I want to separate. I want a divorce. What? I didn't see this coming. What? Huh? How did that happen? Have you ever had this in your life? Have you ever heard this from friends or other people? Well, I'm sure you have. Even if you were in a long-term live-together kind of relationship where you assumed that someday you'd marry this person, Have you ever had this happen? Yeah, maybe so. Well, I encourage you to listen for the next 50 minutes or so, because my guest today is going to help you out with these issues. And I encourage you also to call, as always, here on the couch at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. If you'd like, if you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can email me instantly, and I will try to answer your questions. My guest will too, actually. It's Doc Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. That's Doc Michelle at AOL.com. Now, as I mentioned, my guest today is going to try and help you figure out why this sometimes happens. You know, what types of feelings to expect and how to get through the difficult stages of recovery from what my guest calls wife abandonment syndrome. And it's author Vicki Stark. Vicki has about 25 years experience as a family therapist, educator, and guest expert on TV, radio, and print media. And today we're talking about her latest book, Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. Vicki, nice to have you with us today.
Hi there, Dr. Michelle. It is a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's always great to talk with you. And I'll tell you what, your book is pretty much one of a kind in helping women deal with this runaway husbands syndrome, as I call
it. Yep, that it is.
Yep, it sure is. And, there's always something in an author's life or an awakening or something that happens that inspires them to write their books. What was it that really inspired you to create this book?
Well, like yourself, I'm a therapist. Mm-hmm. I'm a family therapist, a marriage counselor, a divorce counselor. I've been for almost now, it's close to 30 years in this field. And I thought I was in the most happy, stable marriage with a man that I deeply loved and who I truly believe loved me. Mm-hmm. And so I'd been married for 21 years, and I had written my first book, which is about sister relationships, my sister and myself.
That's a good book,
and
too.
I'd been on the road for 23 days on a book tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I arrived home. I took the red eye back from San Diego back to Montreal, where I live. And my husband picked me up at the airport and drove me home. And that night when he got home from work, he lowered the boom and he said, Let me see. He said it's over.
What?
I said, I bought fish.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, it's over. And I thought, fine, you don't want to eat fish, I'll get chicken.
Yes, yes.
And he said, no, it's over, and I'm moving out right now.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I was in a complete state of disbelief and shock, and, you know, more so because I'm a therapist and because usually I'm pretty astute about human relations.
Right.
And I saw nothing, not the slightest glimmer that would indicate that my marriage was on the rocks.
Yes, yes.
And so he did actually move out and moved in with his girlfriend. He'd had a girlfriend for a remarkable 6 years that I didn't know about.
Oh, my goodness.
And then proceeded to sort of denigrate everything about the relationship and all the things that I thought were so positive and that he had assured me. And, you know, he wasn't one of these remote men. He was warm, loving, you know, affectionate, put his arm around me, hugging, kissing, being very positive, telling me how much he loved me all the time until the day he left.
My goodness.
So I was completely, completely flabbergasted and went into, you know, just an altered state. I lost a lot of weight and I was, you know, hardly functioning. And after a few months, you know, when my brain started functioning again, I thought, I've got to get to the bottom of this. How can this happen?
Right. Right. Especially as a therapist. You know, you're kicking yourself.
As a therapist.
What are the signs that I should have seen? You know, we beat ourselves up sometimes about certain things that we should have seen or known. But, I mean, it's very difficult, especially when you feel good about the relationship. Right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's the interesting thing in what I come to call wife abandonment syndrome, which is that very often there really are not real signs. You know, it's not really all that clear.
Yeah.
And definitely looking back in my own marriage, I didn't really, even, you know, with hindsight, I didn't really see much that would, you know, have been a red flag to me.
Sure.
And particularly because he was working very hard to keep me. I mean, he was in it until the moment he was out of it.
Wow. Okay.
It was sort of like flicking the switch and, you know, he's my darling husband until the moment he decided, okay, I've done enough of this, and then he walked away from it. And then basically turned against me and became like an alien that I didn't even recognize.
Well, that was his justification, of course, for his actions. So, right?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what it was about. And, you know, many times we try to look back and think, oh, wait a minute, was he having a middle-aged life crisis? Is this what it was? He felt like he was getting older, or he felt like he wanted to feel sexier and younger. And, you know, you start thinking, did he start going to the gym or start sprucing himself up or stay out later at night? Or, you know what I'm saying? Were there text messages?
Yeah, yeah. And those are very common things that men do midlife, and often that men do when they're, you know, sort of on the way out of a marriage. And, you know, I suppose a little bit, but nothing really dramatic, nothing that I would notice that was out of the ordinary in my particular case. Although, you know, sometimes in other people's cases, I hear they do notice that the guy loses weight and starts working out and, you know, dyes his hair and gets a tattoo and gets a Harley Davidson or something like that at the age of 55. And then you have to sort of think like, hey, are we okay? What's going on here?
Yeah, you're so funny. Gets a Harley Davidson. I love it, Vicki.
Yeah.
By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle Cohen and my special guest today, Vicki Stark. She's the author of the book, Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. And we're talking about what types of feelings to expect, things to get through, help you get through if you experience this situation, things maybe you can be a little more aware of in your life so as to possibly maybe prevent this. If you'd like to call in live here and ask Vicki a question, please feel free to do so. The number is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815, or of course you can email me if you'd like to be a little more discreet, not have your voice on the air, at docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. All right. How common is this, Vicki? I see a lot of people coming into my office saying I was completely shocked about my husband announcing he was leaving me. How common is this?
You know, you'd be surprised. This is pretty common. I mean, in the typical kind of divorce, people have been fighting and they've been bickering and maybe they went to a marriage counselor.
Right.
And maybe they've been, you know, not talking to each other and somebody's moved out of the house for a night or two and then came back and they know that they're in conflict.
Right.
So this is, you know, this is the atypical kind of divorce, you know, mm-hmm. in which the wife doesn't realize that the husband is unhappy. And I just wanted to mention, you know, sort of the definition of wife abandonment syndrome.
Yes.
Which is a unique form of marriage breakdown that begins with a husband's out-of-the-blue declaration that he's happily married to his happily married wife.
Right.
That the marriage is over.
Ah.
Without ever having mentioned that he was unhappy or thinking of leaving. So, you know, it really comes out of the blue. And then following his dramatic announcement, he often quickly, you know, gets out of there, moves out very quickly, and most of the time, 95% of the time, there is a girlfriend in the wings who's waiting.
Wow.
And so it's a defining event in the wife's life, and one, you know, that's very hard for women to get over.
Right.
But what I've heard is that most people who hear about wife abandonment syndrome, mm-hmm. then they say, oh my God, that happened to my aunt.
Oh,
oh my God, I heard, you know, my friend went through this.
Right.
So, you know, even if it hasn't happened, you know, to the divorced woman, most people have heard of somebody or know of somebody. And the other thing that's been interesting to me is that this phenomenon is really worldwide, that I've heard from women literally all over the world, in Africa and South Africa and India, in the Ivory Coast, in you know, Norway.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere in the world, I've heard from women in 100 different countries.
Wow, that's amazing, Vicki. This kind of makes maybe listeners, female listeners who are married or in a long-term committed relationship, thinking about marriage or common law or whatever, sort of, maybe I should keep my eyes open. Maybe I should monitor him a little more. Maybe I should this is sort of a heads-up alert system. But, you know, a lot of women who think they're in happy marriages, they don't even think of doing this because usually it feels pretty good and compatible and life's all good and that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, people say to me, like, what can I do in order to prevent this happening to me? Nothing like having me come on the radio and every woman who's listening who's in a happy marriage now suddenly gets, you know, paranoid.
Right.
You know? And they don't know, well, you know, what's gonna happen next. But I mean, I think when I look back, if I could have done something different with my husband, I probably wouldn't have taken for granted the fact that he was okay. And I didn't really check in with him. I never said, how you doing? You know, how are we doing?
Right.
You know, are you happy? Anything we need to work on? Anything we need to change? I never did that because I just felt like everything's fine and that if there's a problem, he'd tell me.
But, you know, I think a lot of men who are subject to committing wife abandonment syndrome wouldn't even be answering you honestly, Vic. I mean, if people,
no, you're right.
You know, you say, how are you doing? Are you happy? You want to go out and do something fun this weekend? Or would you like to do something more? Or would you, shall we spice up our sex life? Or, you know, I think they would just be, oh, no, we're fine. Oh, no.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Because the men typically who have to run away are so afraid of their wife's anger.
Oh, boy.
Are so afraid of conflict in life in general that they'll do anything to avoid conflict.
Mm.
And so they'd rather just turn their backs and run than to have that conversation and have to deal with a crying wife and an angry wife or a confused wife and have to answer questions and have to articulate their own feelings, and that whole thing is tremendously threatening.
Mm, that's so true. Vicki, why do so many husbands turn against their wives without showing any concern for their welfare? I mean, how can they be so stoic? One day come in and announce, I'm leaving, and then just turn off like a light switch. How can they do that? That sounds like a narcissist or antisocial personality disorder or something to me.
Yeah, well, a lot of the women that I've heard from, you know, have questioned, you know, how narcissistic is my husband that he can just walk away without caring about me? Like, he cared about me so much on Tuesday, and what happened on Wednesday when, you know, now he doesn't seem to have any concern for my welfare.
Right.
But I think that, you know, it's sort of like something that you alluded to earlier on, which is that in order for the man to be able to live with himself, he's got to sort of export all the blame for the breakdown in the relationship onto the wife.
Yes.
These are highly, in some ways, narcissistic or sensitive to their own feelings, mm-hmm. men. Mm-hmm. So that he wants to say, it's all your fault, and, you know, you forced me to do this. I would never have done this because I'm basically a good guy.
Yeah.
So in order to be able to live with himself and not feel so guilty, he has to say, you know, remember the time when, you know, I asked you to come to my sister's house and you didn't want to come? Well, you know, you never cared about my feelings or whatever.
Yes.
You know, he has to find reasons, and he has to, in many cases, women say that he's like manufacturing reasons why he had to leave, and that anger and that turning, you know, from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde, you know, that sense that here's this loving man who now really doesn't care about me and is just trying to take me to court and you know, extract as much financial security as he can.
Yeah.
What that is this guy is just, he feels that he has to make sure that the wife is the one who's the fall guy and taking the blame so that he doesn't have to feel badly.
Right. Isn't that fascinating? You know, I mean, they're putting their problems on, they're projecting, as you know, in psychology, they're projecting
yes.
their own guilt and their own anger and feelings, justification for their actions. Is this about sex mostly, Vicki?
Well, you know, I think that largely what this is about, it's often people, I mean, certainly more shorter-term marriages end, but in wife abandonment syndrome, it's often people who are in a long-term marriage,
mm-hmm.
And they're married 20, 30 years. They might be 50 years old, 45,
mm-hmm.
50,
yeah.
55, 60. And let's face it, after you've been sleeping with the same woman for 35 years, you know, there's not a lot of new and exciting bells and whistles.
Right.
And they get to a point in their lives where they say, I've been a good husband, I've been a good father, I've been a good provider, I've been a good worker, when do I get to be James Bond?
Ah.
So they sort of look ahead and they say, you know, time's running out,
mm-hmm.
And if I want to have some fun, now is my chance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can't make themselves younger, and often they can't leave their jobs because they need the financial security. But the one thing that is changeable in their lives is the wife. So they
right.
start to blame the wife for the fact that they're getting older and that their sex life isn't all that, you know, hot and exciting.
Right.
And then they're vulnerable. And then, you know, very often the women that play the role of the other women
mm-hmm.
in wife abandonment syndrome are much younger women.
Right.
But women who are not very, maybe not as accomplished as a wife,
right.
who maybe have maybe a lesser, if we talk in terms of social strata.
Right.
Like if he's the boss, she's the secretary. If he's the
right.
doctor, she's the receptionist.
Right. Very convenient. right.
Yeah. So they look up to the guy and they say, oh, wow, you're so amazing, you're so great, you know, and this guy gets this ego boost that he's
sure.
been, you know, that he's been longing for. And his wife, who knew him when he was a skinny guy of 23, is not going to be looking up at him with stars in her eyes. So
right.
it's just, you know, realistically speaking, that it's an opportunity that men often seize. For them to feel like they're hot again, you know,
sure.
to feel like they've got, you know, that they're the sexy guy again.
Right, right. Yep, I hear it all the time, Vicki. If you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Vicki Stark. She's the author of the book, we're talking about it, Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Retreat, and Renewal, rather. And if you'd like to ask Vicki a question, please feel free to call here 323-203-0815 or email me if you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the radio. You can do so at docmichelle2ls@aol.com. We have several emails coming in, Vicki, so we'll take some of those questions in just a minute. But I would love you to share with listeners, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard about this, how some wives or long-term, you know, live-in girlfriends are subject to a form of emotional abuse from their husbands prior to their leaving. Maybe they're picking up signs or they're feeling something's going on or whatever. It's a phenomenon called gaslighting, named after that famous movie classic, which is a must-see for all psychology students from the 40s.
From the 1940s with Ingrid Bergman.
That was an awesome film. What is this gaslighting about?
Well, this is the thing that I think is the hardest for women to recover from, when this, you know, the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde transformation, when the guy, he's basically making her feel like she's losing her mind.
Yes.
I mean, the theory in Gaslight, the movie, was that the husband wanted to make the wife feel like she was crazy, so he would had somebody turn down the gas lights every night while they were sitting in the living room, and she'd say, "Is it getting dark in here?" And he'd say, "No, I don't see anything."
Oh, God.
And so he was purposely trying to make her feel like she was losing her mind. So, uh-huh. I mean, that's why we call it gaslighting, because... Mm-hmm. He's taking the reality that they lived together for decades.
Yes.
And he's denying it.
Ah.
And he's calling into question what she knew as her own reality, and it makes her feel like she's going loony.
Ah.
Like, for example, he'll say, "Remember that trip we took to Greece last year?"
Yes.
And we were on that island, and you thought we were having such a great time. Well, I was miserable every second of the day.
Oh, my God.
So she's thinking back to the laughter and the fun and the beach and the swimming and the great time they had. And now he's telling her, "I was miserable," and she just can't wrap her mind around it. So,
wow.
In a sense, it makes her feel like, "Am I crazy? Was I missing something?"
Yes.
You know, and so she feels like she's losing her grip on reality, because he's taking the story as she knew it and as she lived it, and he's just twisting it around so that he can say to her, "We never had a good time. You thought we were having fun. We weren't."
Wow.
And so it's a pretty disturbing thing for the wife, you know, to look back about, and you know, so often happens in wife abandonment syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, they look back over so many different events of their lives.
Yes.
And the husband says, "You know, I never loved you." Like in my own case,
yeah.
I had saved all of his greeting cards. My ex-husband
Aww.
Was a very
yes.
articulate guy, and he would
yes.
write in greeting cards, "I bless the day I met you. You know, I am so happy with you. I can't imagine ever being happy." You know, all this stuff
yeah.
in the greeting cards that he didn't have to say, but, you know, he said, "You are my rock. You are my life." Things like that. Very, very mushy, over the top. And then, you know, when he leaves, he says, "I really didn't care about you much." And so you're like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know,
right. Wow.
So that's what gaslighting is, and it's, you know, and so that what women really have to do is they have to believe their lived experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In my case, I know that when he was writing those things and giving me those cards, I know that he
yeah.
had those positive feelings towards
yes,
me.
Exactly.
And even though he might be denying it now at this
yes.
neck of the road, I don't have to believe his words at the moment that he's leaving, because they're self-serving.
Wow. Yes. You know, talking about when there is a runaway husband situation, and usually another woman waiting in the wings, a much younger woman, possibly, who looks up to him as this superior father figure, boss,
yes.
slash whatever. It's so interesting, because do these relationships they run to, do they traditionally last for a long period of time? Or do you know the statistics on that?
Yeah, you know what? I don't. I
uh-huh.
really don't, because
yeah.
I really don't have access to the guys.
Right, right, right.
You know, I've tried to be able to, you know, because my book was based on a study, and I had 400 women who participated in the study, and they were happy to tell their story. But,
yes.
you know, I tried to access men who'd be willing, you know, from the other side to tell their story, and it's very hard to get anybody to participate.
Sure.
So, you know, I think some of those relationships do survive.
Yes.
And you know, I've certainly heard a certain number, you know, that he leaves the wife, and 6 months later, you know, the relationship with the girlfriend, when it stops being a fantasy relationship, as all other women relationships are,
yes.
fantasy relationships.
Right.
You know, when the reality hits and those relationships fall apart.
Yeah.
But I really don't know what the statistics are on that one.
Well, sure. Sure. Of course. Well, shall we read some of these emails, Vicki?
That sounds good.
All righty. This is from Anita. She says, "I'm a 60-year-old lady who lived in California with my husband for 12 years. I had to fly to London unexpectedly because my dad had a severe heart attack. My husband also traveled for work and said, 'That's fine, I'll be here.' After continually talking with my hubby several times a day, I flew home in about 2 weeks to find our house practically empty of furniture, with his business card that he left on my piano saying, "I'm divorcing you. Call my attorney."
Oh, my gosh.
I'm still suffering from the pain, but have since moved back to London to be close to my family. What would you suggest I do to get through this?
Yeah, this is classic, a classic runaway husband, a cowardly guy who, you know, after 12 years of marriage doesn't have the guts to really, you know, to face her.
Right.
And just runs away as fast as he can. And it sort of, it illustrates one of the things that I saw over and over in my study, which is that so often the marriages break down when somebody's been on a trip.
Wow, what is that?
Yeah, in my case, I'd been on the book tour, and I got home, and that in this woman's case, she'd been visiting her family. So that's a pretty common thing, that either the guy's been away or the wife's been away, and, you know, when she comes home, that's when he lowers the boom.
Wow.
You know, she has a lot of work to do to recover from this. I mean, if she's 60 and it's been a 12-year relationship, at least it hasn't been her whole life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the thing that women need most of all, whether they're married or whether they're single or whether they're, you know, living with somebody, is they need to have a life that's apart from their love relationship. So that if she has a job or if she has a hobby or if she has a cocker spaniel or if she has something, you know, that she loves, that she can devote herself to, that she, that can fulfill her identity.
You know,
it's hard to recover from that intensely of a rejection, you know, that her whole life changed on a dime.
My goodness.
Gets home from, you know, a troubling trip because her father was sick. And then, you know, she maybe she's looking forward to some comfort from her husband. And then he's gone.
My goodness.
But women need to be sure in their lives to have other things that they can, that can sustain them and that they can devote themselves to.
So
for this woman's situation, if she can, if she has a job or something that she can throw herself into, and day after day, you know, the pain starts to recede, and I can guarantee that over time, she will feel better. It's very painful at first, and I don't know what the timing is in this situation, but it's very painful at first. It's so painful, it's physically painful. You feel physical pain.
True.
And that's why women stop eating, because, you know, one of the women said, you know, he fed me something I couldn't swallow, and so I couldn't eat after that.
Wow, that is profound.
But, you know, like any kind of trauma, if she just keeps going, put your head down and put one foot in front of the other and get through the days, eventually it stops hurting.
Right. Well, thanks for that, Vicki. And thank you so much, Anita, for writing in. Sounds to me like she has flown, you know, here back to home, so she may have a some kind of a support system for her. And sometimes distance does help. Sometimes being across the world, I guess it's about 8:30 or so in the evening for her right now. So that's lovely she's listening. But, yeah, so she has separated herself as well and hopefully is getting the support she needs. But thanks so much for writing, Anita. I sure appreciate that story. It was very moving. And if you have a story or if you'd like to call us, you can do so at 323-203-0815 and ask my special guest, Vicki Stark, a question. We're talking about her book, Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. And Vicki, in trying to cope with their husband's abandonment, you talk about the transformational stages that women are going to have to deal with. What are some of these stages to expect?
Well, you know, I suppose, you know, this sort of jumps right off from the email that you just read, which is that right in the very beginning, when this woman walked in the house and realized, oh, my God, where's my furniture? And then she finds this business, this cold thing, the business card, call my lawyer. She is entering into the very first of the transformational stages, which I called tsunami.
Right.
It's the first hit when you're informed out of the blue that the marriage is over, and you, it's like you're in the wave and your feet are upside down and you don't know which end is up, and you're drowning and you go into a state of shock.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful because the whole world is just unrecognizable, mm-hmm. and you know, you just don't know how to cope.
Right.
And so that first stage, it's pretty intense, and it usually lasts. I'd say typically it lasts a month or two, mm-hmm. you know, where you're just sort of trying to make it through the day.
Yes.
And you're really suffering. And then, you know, I used all of these meteorological terms, but mm-hmm. then you go mm-hmm. into the tornado phase where, and this is one of the hallmarks of wife abandonment syndrome, is that obsessiveness.
Yes.
Like mm-hmm. your mind is spinning and you're yes. obsessing and you're thinking and you're repeating things to yourself over right. and over again as you try to come up with some desperate plan to make this not be happening.
Right.
Or at least to understand it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's a crazy dangerous time where you're going to make those midnight telephone calls to him, or you're going to stalk him outside his workplace, or
yes.
you're going to send the email that you wish you hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're not in your right mind.
Right. Correct.
And then following that is the thunderstorm phase, where you feel besieged, raw, and fearful.
Mm-hmm.
And this is usually the phase where people start going into, they see lawyers and they get mm-hmm. lawyers' letters and they get have to write affidavits, and they're very vulnerable and they're afraid of what can hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
They
sure.
don't want the next piece of information that they're going to hear about,
right.
oh, the boyfriend just moved in with his, the husband just moved in with his girlfriend or whatever.
Yes.
You know, those
sure.
each one of those pieces of information is so painful.
Sure.
And so it's like a thunderstorm, and you never know when the next thunderbolt will strike, and your emotions are wild.
Yes.
And you're jumping around from anger to grief to fear.
Yes. Yes.
And then you go into the longest of the transformational stages that I remember so well for mm-hmm. myself, which I call the ice storm.
Yes.
Where life, you know, you're just on automatic pilot, and life feels hard, cold, mm-hmm. and unforgiving.
Yep. Yep.
And time slows way down, and you're sort of frozen, trying to make head or tail of it, and
mm-hmm,
just to get
mm-hmm.
through the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And you wonder if you'll ever feel normal again. And
right.
then slowly you get into fog, and
yep.
your interior world is still gray, but you're not feeling as frozen.
Right, right.
And then slowly you get to the next phase, the three more positive phases, which is sun shower. Which is the world has started to thaw, and some days it's sunny and some days it's rainy,
right.
and you seesaw between good and bad days, but it's not only bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then the early spring stage, believe it or not, everyone gets to, and hopefully achieve the temperate summer day where you realize you've made the transition, you're into your new life.
Right.
It doesn't feel like your old life, but perhaps you've found some positives about this whole experience.
Yes.
And you're, you know, you've picked up your socks and you're moving on.
Wow. And, you know, what's fascinating about this, I just wanted to share this with listeners as well, is this is based on a study of over 400 women worldwide.
That's
who
right.
were, you know, left out of the blue from what they believed to be happy marriages. So this is pretty much empirical stuff. This is research, and you're studying. These are reports from people. And stages, too, that sort of like the, you know, stages of mourning that we all sort of go through.
Yes.
But in this case, when women have this wife abandonment syndrome, you know, they need to sort of go through stages to start feeling, you know, wonderful again.
Yes.
So then after the, you know, life is getting better and things are feeling a little better, you're starting to feel in sort of their sunny days. You talk about helping women with seven steps for being able to sort of move forward. Can you share
yeah.
these steps with our listeners?
Sure, yeah. And this is, you know, they sort of mirror the transformational stages. But
right.
initially, you know, the first step in moving forward is recognizing that this chaos won't last forever.
Yep.
You know, as miserable as you're feeling, if you can recognize, I'm not always going to feel this way.
Yeah.
That's the very first step.
Yeah.
And then after that, another big piece is accepting that the marriage is really over.
Yeah.
You know, where you stop bargaining in your mind, oh, if only I could have his attention for an hour, maybe we could go to marriage counseling or something. You have
yeah.
to accept that he's turned the corner, he's left you behind, and the marriage is over.
Yeah.
And then the third step is to integrate the fact that your husband has changed.
Yes.
It's not the same George that you used to be married to.
Yeah.
And he is, he's moved on, and he really doesn't care about you anymore. He doesn't care about your feelings, and acknowledging that he's not the same guy.
Right.
And then the fourth step is understanding why he needs to justify his actions,
mm-hmm.
including rewriting history, lying, or attacking you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, as we talked earlier, you know, that he needs to justify his actions so that he doesn't feel so bad.
Right.
And so he can export the blame onto you.
Uh-huh.
And then the fifth is also a hard step, which is to give up trying to get the acknowledgement and apology that you deserve.
Sure.
Because everyone feels like, if only I could get him to say, you know what, Trudy, you didn't deserve what I did to you, it would be so healing.
Mm-hmm.
But he never will.
Right.
And then you have to turn your focus from the past to the future. You know,
mm-hmm.
stop looking back, stop trying to figure it out,
mm-hmm.
and start looking at your own future. And then finally, sort of like the summer day of the transformational phases, is recognize that you've got control of your own life and celebrate your own new life as a single person.
Right.
So there's different steps that have to be accomplished, but people, you know, can limp their way through them until they get to the new normal.
Yes, exactly. And I know you, as a marriage family therapist, would be really advocating that women who do go through this go see a good therapist who specializes in relationships, because they're going to get support. They're going to get the cognitive behavioral therapy that you're talking about, the reality-based therapy. It's like, okay, this is reality. He's no longer the person that you knew. This is over.
Yes.
And rational thinking. It's not cruel. It's just what's going on that's the real deal right now. Let's face reality.
Yes.
And let's see the ways that we can sort of cope with it and move on in a rational manner. You know, now that people are sort of out of that thunderstorm and ice storm phase and the fog and all that. So,
right.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things, Michelle, that I wanted to point out to our listeners is that very often even therapists don't get it.
Uh-huh.
They think, what's wrong with this woman? You know, it's been 8 months. Why isn't she moving on?
Yes.
They don't understand how this is so different from a typical divorce because of the trauma involved in having your life change, having that tsunami hit when your life changes on the turn of a dime. So very often when people are seeing their therapist and their therapist is pushing them and they think there's something pathological that she's still crying about this guy a year later, they don't understand that wife abandonment syndrome, it takes a long time to recover.
Mm.
And
mm.
it takes a good year to start to feel slightly normal.
Right.
And I would say it takes a good 2 years to start to be able to really pick up the pieces and even envision the possibility of moving on.
Right.
And that typically in therapy that women are very hurt by their therapist feeling as though there's something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
That it's taking them so long.
Sure.
Because a lot of therapists just are not tutored about how wife abandonment syndrome is different from a typical divorce.
Right. Exactly. We have another email, Vicki. Shall we tackle this?
Sure.
Email? All right.
Yep.
This is from Carol. She said, Vicki, as a therapist, do you have any suggestions to help me recover from the pain of my husband leaving me 2 years ago? I'm still suffering. How can I better cope with this pain? Okay.
Right. Okay, so exactly. I mean, 2 years, it's, you know, it's sort of normal, 2 years. It's, it's not that unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that, first of all, you know, I would ask whether she has reached out to friends and family.
Right.
Or whether she is isolating herself. You know, whether she thinks that perhaps she's feeling a bit depressed. And she's, you know, dreading each day. She's having trouble waking up in the morning. She's not looking forward to things. And, you know, and sometimes it is necessary to approach your family doctor or to go see a medical professional if you feel as though you might be suffering from a depression. And I have nothing, I have no problem at all with people taking meds for a period of time to get them through, particularly if after 2 years you're still really, really struggling and life is really, really hard.
Yes.
But I, you know, I think that a lot of women use exercise.
Yeah.
You know, get themselves out there. And another thing that I like to recommend is get yourself into nature.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
If it's possible to take a walk, you know, to get to get connected with nature, to walk along the seaside, to take a walk in a park, to go to a lake, you know, to be in touch with nature, mm-hmm. and to be very kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And find ways that you can enrich your own life.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of the things that I did, and this was a sort of completely out of left field for me, is that I joined a woman's barbershop chorus.
Wow.
About 4 months after my husband left. Now, Michelle, I have the world's worst voice.
No, I do.
And these women were very kind to let me come every week. And I went for 5 years every week, and I sang with them. And, you know, when you're singing barbershop, you're singing a lot of, like, emotional songs about he done you wrong, and, you know, it triggers a lot of feelings. But there's such a sense of camaraderie, and music is so healing.
Yes. Exactly. It
so,
really
you know,
is.
To do something yeah. like that, particularly in a positive group, you know, if you can play badminton or something, you know, that you can join a group, a quilting group, or do something
yes.
where you can have the community of other women, you know, who will be there for you.
Yes, exactly. That's lovely. And thank you so much for emailing us, Carol, and I sure hope that helped you out. I'm sure it did. If you would like to call here live on the air, 323-203-0815, or email my special guest, Vicki Stark, the author of Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. You can do so at DocMichelle with two L's at AOL.com. And let's see here. I'm looking at this other email. Should we just shoot this other
sure.
one? This
is a Go for it.
This is a fascinating one and very common from what I have witnessed in my practice. Says, Dear Vicki, after my husband left me for one of his assistants at work and left our children, who are ages 14 and 16, I have this urge to say bad things about their dad, but I always bite my tongue because I know that they are suffering too, especially when they have to go visit him and his live-in girlfriend every other weekend.
Yes.
I am suffering and cannot speak about this. What should I do?
Oh, wow. Well, this is a very noble yes. sentiment on the part of this mom.
Yes.
I mean, it's very tempting. It's very tempting to try to unload some of that frustration.
Oh, yeah.
And to try to get, you know, some people feel like I have to, you know, the kids have to know the score and they have to know what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they sort of use that as an excuse to tell their kids TMI, too much information.
Yes, exactly.
And to burden their children, you know, because the children need to have a mom and a dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as much as they, you know, as much as this mom might want to, you know, let the kids know how much she disapproves of him and his live-in girlfriend and mm-hmm. all of that stuff, she is just, you know, maybe you have to be a bit of a Mother Teresa. You have to be a saint.
Yes.
You know, to try to button up your mouth and just really not burden your kids with
yeah,
your
sure.
your experience. Now, on the other hand, sometimes the kids come home and yeah. they, you know, they're teenagers and they talk.
Sure.
And they're going to say, oh, you know, dad's girlfriend, I hate what she did. Or
sure.
or they're going to say even worse, dad's girlfriend, she's so much fun, she's so cool, I love her.
Oh,
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
so that, you know, you want to be genuine with your kids, but
sure.
you really don't want to burden them. And you want to let them, you want to recognize the fact that they need to have a relationship with him. And now, as bitter a pill as it is to swallow.
Sure.
They may need to have a relationship with this woman.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way around it.
Sure, exactly.
So it's a very hard one. It's an extremely hard one, and my heart really goes out to those women
yes.
who have to then send their kids to the dad's house and even the dad and his girlfriend's house
right.
when he's, you know, when he's fled the marriage.
Yes, exactly.
It's hard and it's complicated, but I think as much as possible, if moms can try to protect their children from the conflict between the two adults.
Yes.
They're really doing them a favor.
Yes, I agree. Thank you so much, Vicki, for helping that listener out. There was no name given, but thank you also for emailing us here. If you just tuned in here on the couch, you're with Dr. Michelle, as usual, and my special guest, Vicki Stark. She's the author of the book Runaway Husbands, The Abandoned Wife's Guide to Recovery and Renewal. And one of the points of your book, Vicki, is to help women who have to deal with this, not to make them paranoid. You know, we're not here to get everybody. Because, I mean, we can all get paranoid now that we hear this kind of thing.
That's right, yeah.
I know there might be a lot of listeners out there asking, how can I safeguard my relationship so I don't experience this? What things can I look for? Are there signs? So what would you suggest?
Well, I mean, I think that really there are those typical signs, you know, when a man midlife, one of the things that a lot of the women said is that the guy comes home and he's suddenly complaining about work.
Ah, yes.
Now, it's not unusual for people to complain about their job.
Of course.
But when they're bitterly complaining about work day after day after day, maybe it means that he's dissatisfied with his life.
Yeah.
So that a lot of the husbands who leave, they come home, they're complaining about work, but they don't want to complain about the wife. So instead, they're saying how unhappy they are in their jobs.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's a bit of a, you know, an indicator that things are not so good in his life. But you know, I think that, you know, if you notice that your husband seems to be miserable, he seems unhappy, he seems irritable, and even if he's not saying that, it's about you. I think it's worthwhile to try to have one of those check-ins, you know, that I suggested, you know, to say how are we doing and how are you doing, and even if he says we're fine, you know, then maybe you can say, are you sure, you know, it seems as though you know, you've been blue recently, or you've been down, or something on your mind, or anything you want to tell me.
Exactly.
And so that, you know, that is one of the ways of hopefully heading off wife abandonment syndrome.
Sure.
But then, you know, all the other typical things, that the guy suddenly, you know, changes, that he starts going out a lot, and he seems involved in something new, and he's moved on to things that don't include you, and, you know, it might be worthwhile to check in and see what's going on with him.
I think that's a great idea. It really is. And not to get everybody paranoid. That's not the goal of your book. It's just a, you know, heads up, this happens, and how to get through this wife abandonment syndrome if it has happened to you. It's a great book to help folks cope with this. How can people get in touch with you, Vicki, and where can they get your book?
Well, the book is available. It's at the major online booksellers like Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, for example, or BarnesandNobles.com.
Yeah.
So that's pretty easy. And I also want to suggest we have an amazing website, which is called RunawayHusbands.com. And on the Runaway Husbands website, there's a community section in which women for the past years, 5 to 6 years, have been writing in and telling their stories and supporting each other and explaining things. And the website is really, it's like a town square where women can get together. There's a lot of information. And you can also purchase a book from the website. So, you know, once again, that's www.runawayhusbands.com.
Yes.
Very easy.
Right.
And if somebody needs to contact me, I mean, I do telephone therapy and Skype therapy for women who have, you know, who are out of town. I'm in Montreal, and want to speak with me directly. So that's always an option. And you can locate me through my website, through runawayhusbands.com.
Oh, that's super. Vicki, it's about that time that we close out, but I thank you so much for being with us. As always, a wonderful guest. And your book is most helpful. There's no other book really like it.
Thank you, Michelle. It is just a delight talking with you. And I just, you know, really hope that all the women or all the men and whoever's listening in takes real good care of themselves.
Oh, well said. All right, Vicki, take good care, and thanks so much again.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye now. All right, by the way, this show will be up for reruns. If you just tuned in, of course, here on the LA Talk Radio website, just click on Channel 1 on the couch with Dr. Michelle. This will be in the archives tomorrow and with content. So if you missed some of the show today, you get to hear it in reruns as well. So that's terrific. You can download them. Of course, all my shows are on iTunes as well for free. That's the good news. Woke me up for free. Listen, have a wonderful day, everybody. It's about that time. You can stay on the couch. More great shows coming up with CBS News as well. Next week, I'm going to talk to a national surgeon who wrote a book, What Your Doctors Can't Tell You, help you learn how to talk to your doctors, ask questions, and learn more about your physical health. Fascinating. fascinating subject. All right, as I always do say, take good care of yourself first, then you'll be really good for others. That's the way it works. Bye-bye.